Hello, and welcome back to Podcast in a Pear Tree. I am Aaron Lee.
Oh, whoa, and it's just me, Danielle, today.
Samantha is missing.
Oh, yeah, I know. It's okay. She's doing some Christmassy things.
Yeah, we're really happy for Samantha. She and her husband have taken off to start their Christmas celebrations early, so it's just the two of us today. But we're going to talk about some Christmas movies and have a good time. Now, Danielle, before we dive into this, I have to tell you this story.
Uh-oh.
No, it's a good story. It's a good story.
Okay, really cool. Okay, great.
I'm at an event, and uncharacteristic for me, I actually start talking to somebody. Contrary to what you may believe from listening to this podcast, I am an introvert through and through. So talking to somebody at a party is just fear-wrenching for me. So I'm talking to this woman and she's really nice and we're just chit-chatting and I start telling her about our podcast in a Pear Tree.
Oh, okay.
She's really interested and she's like, oh, da-da-da-da-da, and asking me about it. And then she's like, did you ever see A Biltmore Christmas? And I said, yeah, I did.
Oh,
it was good. We liked that one. And, you know, it's kind of similar to what they just did this year with Christmas at the Grand Ole Opry.
Oh, right.
And she said to me, oh, Chris was in that one too. And I said, Chris, do you know him? And she's like, I was in A Biltmore Christmas, darling.
What?
I was talking to a Hallmark star. She played the old-time movie actress, Ava Hayward, I think it was.
Oh, this is not just a small-time character.
No, it was not a small-time character. And this year, she was in Season's Greetings from Cherry Lane.
I mean, I didn't watch that one, but I will.
And she's very good in both roles. I don't remember, but I think we may have even commented at how good she was in her role in A Biltmore Christmas. Sweetest person you could ever meet. So nice.
That's cool.
But I just wanted to share that. It was so exciting when I found out. I'm like, I'm talking to a Hallmark celebrity here.
Hi. That's so cool. I mean, would she be interested in chatting with us more about her experience?
Like I said, Danielle, I am an introvert through and through. Getting to that question I was so glad I spoke to somebody.
Okay, no worries. No, but that was very cool. I love the story. Perhaps there'll be another crossing of paths again.
That would be fun. But I just want to say she was one of the nicest people I've ever met. She was so kind, so courteous. She wanted to share it, but she was like, waited till she knew I was going to be comfortable with sharing it. It was so nice to get to talk to her.
But that's not how you started the conversation. It wasn't like Christmas movie podcast. You got to it.
Yeah, I got to it. I forget how the conversation started.
It's a blur.
It was probably just like, hey, how's it going? You know, let me show you XYZ. Oh, yeah, this, that. Podcast.
That's very cool.
Yeah, it was really fun. Let's get to some movies. What have you been watching this week?
Oh, my gosh, Aaron, I have to be honest with you that I kind of hit a moment where I was like, I am kind of the usual Hallmark and Lifetime out. So I did kind of venture. I was like, I got to see like what the other streaming services are doing just for like funsies. Because I just wasn't in the mood for like, the usual formulae thing. So I just wanted
to see. Sometimes you got to do that.
Yeah. And I will say I did end up returning after venturing out. And I was like, okay, I became mentally prepared then to dive back. So I did end up watching some Hallmark films. I watched some Lifetime films and some Netflix films. So actually, Aaron, I think I watched more than I thought I did.
Oh.
Yeah. I don't know what you got to watch, but I can run through kind of some things that I saw on Lifetime. Okay. I will say this season of Lifetime has probably got to be the saddest season yet so far.
Apart from the Deck the Hallways, which I really enjoyed. I don't know if you've gotten to see that one yet, but I really enjoyed Deck the Hallways. Minus, like I said, there's a few potholes kind of at the end. And I'm like, wait a minute, are those scenes out of order? But there was enough zaniness in it that I really enjoyed it. From Lifetime, this week, I watched Christmas in Alaska.
Just that one.
Just that one. That's the only Lifetime I got.
Oh, that's so ironic because I watched the other three.
That's perfect. The only one I got to. I didn't hate it. It wasn't bad, but there was nothing really special about it. There was nothing unique. It was two coworkers who both get the same assignment and they're both up for the same promotion and they're sent off to report on Christmas in Japan, but somehow they get diverted to Alaska.
I was going to say, what? Okay.
Which is a little confusing because they start in DC and they're going to Japan. And I'm like, how did you get up to Alaska? Alaska. That's not on the way.
Yeah, that's not okay. Yeah, that's not usually where the layovers are, but okay.
Were they doing the fly over the North Pole? I don't know. I was how they ended up in Alaska. But they ended up in Alaska, and of course there's no hotels in Alaska, and so the guy is like, oh, my sister actually lives here and runs a small inn. Let's go there. And then they get there and like the inn is not doing so well. A new spa resort just opened up down the street. Oh my goodness, we're travel writers. We could help. It was very predictable. It was the he said, she said. Do you remember that movie, He Said, She Said, with Kevin Bacon, where they were both?
No.
It was from the 80s. They were both columnists. And they were both up to get the column. And the paper decided that because their opinions were so opposing that they would run both columns and start a new column called He Said, She Said. And
then they ended
up falling in love. It's a cute movie with Kevin Bacon from the 80s. You know, go check it out. But it was kind of that where they ended up running both of their columns. And then they ended up both. You know, one of them got the promotion, but said, oh, I could really use some help with this, which they set up from the beginning because they said part of this job is being ready at a moment's notice. And she was all like, I have a kid. I've got to take care of my kid. So it was good. And they ended up being co-editor-in-chiefs of the travel magazine.
Oh, well, okay. So that is the predictable ending. Although no doubt they were influenced by this movie that you're saying. I'm sure if we went to the writers, they'd be like, they'd probably deny it. But there's some element of...
I mean, other than the fact that they're both going to do the job and they ran both articles, that was about the only... I would watch He Said, She Said again over this again.
Ooh. Okay, that makes sense. Also, you know,
probably... But again, like I said, there's nothing inherently wrong. The acting is perfectly acceptable and believable. There was nothing wrong with it, but there was nothing great about it.
Yeah. Humdrum, basically.
Humdrum. Well, that's a good way to say it.
On the Lifetime end, actually, I'd started to watch Runaway Bride for Christmas, and then I felt pain because it was so bad. So I was like, I need to stop watching this. So then I switched out of that very quickly. So I'm not even going to talk about it.
I try my best to avoid the bridal Christmas ones. I tend to not like when we're going to get married at Christmas.
And the thing is, it wasn't even that part of the story, was it? It was literally just the beginning and that's it. Like, it was after she ran away and then the story changed completely. So I was like, I don't even know why. Like, this was the title of this movie, but it didn't take away from the pain. So I decided to go in a different direction. But then my options for Lifetime was, aside from the Alaska, I don't think I actually noticed that there was an Alaska movie, but there were two Western-ish, like rodeo or like a ranch type. I was like, seriously, you put them at the same? Really? Am I going to have to choose between two of the same genre? And I was like, fine. So I decided to go with the Thank God Christmas at Keller Ranch, which I was like, this is going to be probably cheesy. But, you know, so Tyler Hilton, I will give him a shot because I don't know if I've ever shared it on this podcast, but way back when I had booked him when he was a musician, so like I have that like history, so I'm just like, you know what, and I want to be supportive. It was actually not bad. It wasn't how I thought the Starling was gonna go. I mean, once it started, I kind of realized the direction it was probably gonna go with. This was probably the spicy movie for Lifetime. This was the spicy.
But they usually highly advertised the spice, and they did not highly advertise the spice in Thank God Christmas at Keller Ranch.
I wouldn't have expected it, but then I was like, oh, wow, this is going further than a normal Christmas movie. So I was like, this is the spicy one. Oh, okay. I could argue the other. So I did watch the other one as well.
Before you talk about the other one, I have to tell you this story about Christmas. Thank God Christmas at Keller Ranch.
Did you watch it?
No, I didn't.
Okay, go ahead.
Earlier in the season, I was watching another Lifetime movie, and I was watching it on my phone because I was trying to watch for an exercise class. I'm like, I gotta watch this movie. So I'm watching it on my phone. And you know how they put like the name of an upcoming movie in the corner?
Uh-huh.
I saw that, but because it was my phone, it was so small, I couldn't see it. And I thought it said, Thank God Christmas at Killer Ranch. And I thought we had another Do You Fear What I Fear?
Oh, yeah. Lifetime Movie Network.
All excited that we're going to get like this murderous Christmas ranch. And then I was like, oh, it's Heller Ranch.
Heller Ranch.
That was a disappointment for me.
Yeah, that was, the concept there is just that the Tyler Hilton's like this hockey player who's injured and all the PT isn't working. So he decides to do experimental PT at a ranch that does equine therapy. And then the lady who runs it, her husband passed away the previous year, but they need money. And so she ends up taking him as a private client because they don't want anyone to know that he's trying to recover in this way. So that's kind of the setup for that.
Okay.
It's not too bad because she has a son and who really admires him as a hockey player. And it's rough. He's been moody because his dad passed away, but with him around, it kind of makes it like a little bit better, but it gets spicy. And I was like, whoa, cool. Yeah. There are there were a lot of innuendo, like not just innuendos, is like, this is what's happening. And you know, some clothing moments.
Did he show her his Eiffel Tower?
Oh my gosh. Ooh, I'll never live that one down. That was something. That was Champagne Problems. Oh, that was funny.
That movie.
That was, yeah, that was something else. I'm trying to, I don't think I quite understand why it was like the thank God. I know it's a song, but I think they were trying to add a little element of faith toward the end, but it really,
I'm sorry. They added faith in a spicy movie?
I know.
I mean.
I want to say like she ends up like going to like a Christmas service at the end and then like he shows up and like he's kind of loud trying to find her. So I don't know. I'm sorry, but I appreciated though. Like I liked it more than I thought I would. I wasn't expecting much and it actually was okay. The other one, Rodeo Christmas Romance, that was okay as well. I didn't pay. It was a little bit like less cheery. Of the movies that I saw, this was probably like mid cheese.
Okay.
Runaway Bride is like pure cheese. And then Thank God Christmas at Keller Ranch is like normal. Like if that makes any sense. So I would say like the cheese is there. I've seen this actor before. I just can't place the other movies he's done, but he's done a lot.
His name is Corey Seaver, right?
Yes. Yeah. He's been in other stuff.
He's been in a lot. Last year, I think he was in the movie The Christmas Charade, where they were like spies trying to steal a necklace.
Was that a Lifetime movie or was that a Hallmark movie?
No, it was a Hallmark movie.
That's what I thought. I think I saw him in Hallmark stuff. Okay, yeah, that's interesting. That's why he looked familiar. I was like, but I've never seen him really in Lifetime stuff. Basically, there's a rodeo circuit and her horse needs to get seen by a vet. And so her boss kind of was like, oh yeah, you can like stay at my ranch. And then this guy comes home from the military and he doesn't realize she's there. And then this is literally how the storyline starts. He goes to sleep and he's shirtless, so there is another shirtless moment in this movie, but not spicy intentional. The other one's like straight on spice. This is just like
okay,
just the innocent shirtless moment, and they're like, what are you doing here, who are you, blah blah blah. And turns out this guy is the brother and they co-own the ranch, so the brother didn't know he was coming home. So that's how everything starts, and then blah 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 blah. That is how that movie goes. But
yeah, Lifetime has been disappointing this season. I do have to just say, I don't know if this coming weekend's A Pickleball Christmas is really going to pull it out of the ho-hum.
Doesn't look promising.
I mean, I'll watch it and hopefully we get to talk about it in our wrap up for the season, which would be really fun. But I've been very disappointed in Lifetime's offering this year. The other thing about Lifetime that I wanted to say is they started Thanksgiving weekend, which is seasonally appropriate, and I get that, but maybe they should do fewer films because they also did about the same number of films and they were showing like double features on Fridays and Saturdays.
Yeah.
So there was just a lot
every weekend,
and it was too much to watch.
Agreed.
If they want to go with starting at Thanksgiving, a more seasonally appropriate time, maybe reduce the number of movies and put some of the money into those movies so that they're that quality they were.
I agree. Put that investment into it. Well, I think we've kind of wiped out Lifetime. Happy to jump to another network, whether or not you want. I will say, did not watch GAC at all. So
you did not watch any GAC. Okay. I try and make sure I watch at least one from each network. So
that's very nice of you. I mentally was like, after Runaway Bride for Christmas, I was like, no.
The GAC movie I watched was Have We Met This Christmas, which was Danica McKellar's movie. And in addition to starring in it, she also was one of the co-writers of the movie, which, thank goodness, she's now doing that because her GAC offerings have not been great. And GAC has been doing her dirty with the script, if you ask me. This is slightly better. However, incredibly regular. It was an amnesia story. She's, again, going to take over a small town in from her hometown that is run by high school sweetheart's parents. But before she does, she's going to go away on a spa vacation in the mountains. She accidentally runs into a snowbank, hits her head, gets amnesia, gets taken to a hotel that she's going to take over after the spa, doesn't remember who she is. And then determines to help save the hotel from the person that's going to take it over, which is her. Don't watch it. Mm-mm. But it's better than her. It's better than her previous GAC offerings. And so hopefully she will learn. Hopefully she will grow. Hopefully she will write her movie again next year. And it will be better than this one. All I can say, if you're listening, give us a twist. Give us something unique. There was nothing unique in this movie.
It's a snoozer.
It really was. It was not good. It was not good at all. The other one that I wanted to mention, because I think I talked about this in our preview episode, I went and watched My Secret Santa on Netflix. And the biggest reason I want to mention this is because Hallmark years ago did a movie called Christmas at Cartwright. They did it in 2014, starred Alicia Witt, and they are the same premise here, where a single mom has recently lost her job and ends up getting a job as a Santa Claus and can't let her daughter find out that she is Santa. It's a cute premise. We saw it in 2014. We brought it back again, 11 years later? So there's been a decent amount of time in between. I did go back and rewatch Christmas at Cartwright's. They're both very good. I really liked Christmas at Cartwright's when I first watched it. And this does put a new spin and a new take on it. But they are very similar. And it has Netflix money, so it had the quality. I would recommend it. It was a fun movie. It was a fun watch. What did you think?
Yeah, I have to agree with you. I did enjoy it. Not familiar with this film that you just mentioned. I actually got more like Mrs. Doubtfire vibes, especially the switching scene.
Total Mrs. Doubtfire vibes there.
Having to be in the same place. And I really wanted to watch it because I saw that Ryan Eggold was in it. And I was like, excuse me, since when are you doing Christmas movies? So you're very busy with TV shows. I don't know what you're doing right now. You just squeeze that in there for some money. I'm like, he definitely did this for a paycheck, but he wasn't bad.
Alexander Breckenridge is on that Netflix show, Virgin River. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but Sherry and I have been pretty loyal to it at the beginning. But there's a woman on that show who has been pregnant for like 7 seasons. We're like, have you not birthed those babies yet? Because they're twins. Wow. The timing in this show is so off because every time we watch it, we're like, she's still pregnant? What? Let's hop over to Hallmark. Did you watch anything over there?
Yeah, I think they only had 2 films and I saw both of them. The Sweet Holiday Romance, which is sweet as an S-U-I-T-E, and then Boy to the World.
Yes, I watched both of them.
Oh, great.
Okay, so my first opinion, Sweet Holiday Romance is a terrible title for a decent film. My expectation was so low for this movie. I was like, just take it to GAC now. I don't even need to watch it. Just put this one on GAC.
Oh,
and then I watched it and it was really, I liked it.
I really did like the end.
The story here is that a writer is going to stay at a fancy hotel. I forget the name of it. In New York City. She's going to stay in a fancy hotel where her favorite children's book author once stayed and wrote her children's books. And she's going back to ghostwrite a memoir of someone. We don't know who. It's a secret. Meanwhile, is it a fictitious European nation that they must be from a fictitious European nation?
No, they're from London. They're from the UK.
They're from the UK? Okay.
Yeah, because he talks about it all the time. Like, I know you think I'm a baron from the UK. Or they all talk about being from London and flying to London, etc.
Right. So the duke or baron from there is coming, and we mistake his secretary for the Duke, and they get together, and there's a whole bunch of really cool flashbacks, and the way they end up tying all the characters together at the end, I thought was really unique and creative. I'm not explaining this well, Danielle, so you're going to have to take over.
I was going to say, I was like, I actually was more invested in the secondary storyline, because she ends up talking to the hotel owner, and he says, mentions that he actually used to be a butler before, and she's like, ooh, tell me more about that, but he doesn't want to talk about it. So she like keeps egging him on, like, no, it's like, there's a story here. I need you to tell me, like, what were your experiences being a butler?
I don't think he was the hotel owner. I think he was just staying in that hotel because he was a world famous art dealer.
Oh, okay. Got it. Well, he was a butler there.
His youth, he was a butler at the hotel. There,
yeah. And then he ends up talking about how he had met somebody who was trying to get out of a relationship, and instead she wanted to move to London to pursue her dream of doing design school. But they fell in love, and I think he was going to like give her a gift or something, make like a deeper confession. But then she's like, please, you're not going to stop me from, don't you want me to pursue my dream? Do you want to stop me from pursuing my dream? And so he lets her go. But then it's
that whole, if you love something, let it go. If it comes back to you, it's yours forever.
Yeah, because it backfires on him. And he's like, I should have done it. Like, and he's just so sad. But then what ends up happening is they end up writing to each other. And she ends up getting like, well, a whole sad bunch of stuff happens. Like, she doesn't go to design school. She ends up having to be a nanny and to make money, etc. But she ends up staying there. And she ends up marrying somebody else and having this life. And then this writer, she's given the letters that they exchange between them. And then she realizes that the
Baron's mom, she puts two together and figures it out.
I was like, wow, I love it. I love this. And so
it was really fun. I love
that. That was my favorite part. not the actual romance.
My recommendation to Hallmark on this one is get a better title.
Yeah, definitely.
You could brainstorm some, but we want to talk really quickly. We don't have much time left. We do want to talk about Oi to the World. Oi to the World is our Hanukkah offering, and it's a Hanukkah Christmas combo offering this year. The story is that the church and the synagogue are across the street from one another. They've had a long-standing friendship between these two houses of worship. And the water heater breaks in the synagogue, and so they're unable to have their Hanukkah services. And so the church opens their sanctuary up to the synagogue to come and have their services. But their services are going to be at the same time. So they decide to do a combined service and a combined children's choir performance. And the synagogue's children's choir is going to be led by a guy, and the church's children's choir performance is led by a woman, and they were rivals as children, and so now the rivalry comes into adulthood. I liked it. I thought it was really sweet. I really love the combination of bringing Christmas and Hanukkah together. My cousin, his wife is Jewish, and so we really want to embrace her faith, especially now that they have a kid, and so she's going to be celebrating Hanukkah. So we got her like first Hanukkah stuff last year. So we're really excited to celebrate that. And I really like the combination because I'm seeing it in my own family. And it's really, really wonderful in my opinion. What were your thoughts?
I agree. Yeah, it was very heartwarming, well put together. And I loved the song that they did. They did the kind of the two choirs, children's choirs kind of like sang together, and they did a combined of the different faith traditions. And it was interesting because like I was like, oh, I know that part of the song, and that part just blended really well at the end. At the same time, it was a little bit of comedy because it was with Jake Epstein, who's usually in anything that's kind of like Hanukkah-ish. And this was kind of, was this the only like Hanukkah-ish like
it was
movie of the season?
It was, I think.
Yeah, a little different. I wanted to see it because of that, and also because you had told me that it was pretty good. And so I originally wasn't going to watch it because at that point in time, I think I had just seen a bunch of Lifetime films and I was like, oh, I can't do this anymore. And then I was like, oh, this is actually, that I saw Sweet Hollywood Romance and it was okay. Then I was like, I think I can take on Oi to the World. I was like, okay, this is cute. Like, we're okay.
It was cute. It was cute. I think I liked Sweet Holiday Romance slightly better than Oi to the World.
Same. Oh, I love that we're on the same page. I agree.
We are totally on the same page with that.
But I will say, maybe for the next time, I will talk a little bit more about some of the interesting Netflix offerings that they have. And plus, we need Samantha to talk about 12 Dates Till Christmas.
We need to talk, yes. But we do want to talk briefly. Upcoming, we have a Make or Break Holiday, which is going to star the second Finding Mr. Christmas. So I'm just going to read Okay, this is what I texted after I watched the episode and I found out who won. I texted you and Samantha. This is what I said, because I think I summed it up very well in this.
Uh-oh.
It's the guy who annoyed me pretty much all season. He nailed one piece of the final challenge, but was weak in the rest of it. There was another guy who I thought nailed the rest of the challenge, but was weaker in that one important piece. And so that it came down to this one element of the final scene that, in my opinion, won it for the guy who won. And he's going to star in Make or Break Holiday. What I'm confused about and looking forward to figuring out is the winner of Finding Mr. Christmas is supposed to have the lead role
in
a Hallmark Christmas movie.
Yes.
They are very clear. It is the, lead role.
That's
However, Make or Break Holiday has been advertised as starring Hunter King and Evan Roderick.
Yes.
And the premise isn't allowing for a second male lead. So I'm curious as to how he's going to fit into this movie. This is the story of a couple on the rock who they want to separate, and their families are in town for Christmas, and the hotel doesn't have enough room, so they end up having to host their families and fake their relationship through the holidays, and then they're going to end up getting back together again at the end. Where is the second male lead in that?
Maybe he's like the other love interest that she gets into, but then realizes that she doesn't want that. She wants the person she's with. I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there.
It could be, but I'm very curious to see whether that is what's going to happen or not, because I'm like, last year it was like Happy Holidays, and literally it said starring Jessica Lange and the winner of Finding Mr. Christmas.
Right.
This year they did not say that.
Ooh. Yeah.
But Finding Mr. Christmas still advertised it as the winner will win a lead role. So I am very fascinated to see how this turns out and see if we all think that he has a leading role in this film.
Hmm. Well, my bet is going to be that he is the secondary. If it's a couple on the rocks, he's going to be a potentially like trying to distract her. Like, that's my guess.
That's my best guess, too. But I don't necessarily think I would call that a leading role.
I agree.
I think that would be very secondary.
They were like, maybe we need to try something different this time. Who knows?
And then I know Samantha is very excited to find out about the Finding Mr. Christmas reunion. I am, too, because what are they going to? It's just big, like, oh, we love you. You were so great. Oh, it was so fantastic. Because they all love each other so much. They're all so supportive of one another. And that's the whole premise of the show, is that they are supportive. It's these really sensitive, nice, kind guys that are just hanging out together. But I'm like, I'm not sure that without their festive face-offs and their star quality challenges, I'm not sure that they're going to make great TV just sitting around talking to one another.
That totally makes sense. And also, usually at a reunion, you talk about, oh, here are the other projects and things I was doing. But when you say, oh, yeah, I wasn't in a Hallmark film. So here's...
I don't know.
Yeah. Have you got any gigs lately? No, not really. Okay. Cool.
Or maybe they have. You know, Jonathan Bennett has been talking about them on social media. He has been trying to put them out there and saying, as they've been leaving the show, how great they were and how inspired by them he has been. But I don't know if that's enough to get you another gig. It may be.
No, agreed. Well, but that's going to be interesting to see. I found it really funny that A Sweet Holiday Romance was on Hallmark Channel, but Lifetime also has A Sweet Holiday Romance as well, but SWEET. It's like, really? Come on, guys. Really? Okay. We got to work on this.
Well, that's like The Christmas Spark and A Christmas Spark.
Oh, gosh.
Between GAC and Lifetime.
Was that like in the same weekend or back-to-back weekends?
No.
Because I'm just annoyed it's back-to-back weekends.
Right. Well, this is a little different because they're back-to-back weekends and they're the same season. Lifetime did A Christmas Spark several years ago, and GAC did The Christmas Spark this year.
Yes. Thank goodness GAC only has one film this upcoming.
They have one film, Chasing Christmas. I probably won't see it. I'm not gonna lie. Looking at the other movies coming up this coming weekend, I think I'm gonna try for a Pickleball Christmas and a Make or Break Holiday and the Finding Mr. Christmas reunion. I think I'm gonna just give myself a pass on the others, because Danielle, we're in deep Christmas right now. I want to be watching It's a Wonderful Life.
I'm gonna watch The Holiday.
Holiday, The Family Stone, A Christmas Carol, whatever version is your favorite. This is the time to be doing that. So this is the time when I like to drift away from Hallmark Lifetime GAC and drift towards those more traditional things that I like to watch with my family.
Yes, the variety of these films is, it's a good guilty pleasure, but you don't know what you're going to get. So
yeah. At any rate, folks, thank you so much for joining us. We really, really appreciate it. Thank you so much for joining us all season. We have so much fun doing this. We have so much fun sharing this with you. And it's just so wonderful to know that you'd listen. Please rate and follow. And
find us where you find your podcast.
Yes. Alrighty, folks. Thank you so much again. Once again, bye-bye. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Bye. Merry Christmas.